I think we would all agree that there are many times in our lives when we need guidance. When we need guidance. We've had the opportunity in our Sunday morning class to study the model prayer, sometimes it's called the Lord's Prayer, the Disciples' Prayer, that we find in Matthew chapter 6. This is a prayer that Jesus gave for His disciples. In that, He instructs His disciples to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." What does this tell us? It informs us of how important it is for Christians to pray for God's guidance. I think this would be something that we need to pray for every day, maybe several times during the day. Pray for His guidance. We're to pray that God will not lead us into temptation. The word temptation, biblically anyway, can have two different meanings depending on the context. In our morning class, we looked at the meaning of an enticement to sin. Trying to get someone to do wrong. And we looked at that this morning in class. The other meaning of temptation is the one we're going to address in this lesson, and that is a trial to prove a person their integrity or their virtue, their faith. And that's what we're going to focus on. God has always tested men's faith. And there are so many examples in the Bible of God testing a person's faith. We go back, of course, to the book of Genesis, and we see God testing Abraham's faith. How did He do that? Well, one example was, of course, when him and Isaac went on to the top of the mountain where Abraham was to do what? Sacrifice his son. We know how God tested his faith. We know how God tested the faith of Job. We read Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2 and the things that God allowed to happen to test Job's faith, because Satan caused all of these terrible things to happen. But God's response was, "Well, you just see how Job responds, how my servant Job responds." And we, of course, read in those first two chapters is that Job did not sin when these things happened. Paul, his faith was tested on many occasions. We read throughout some of the letters that he wrote that we have recorded in the New Testament and some of the things that happened to him that tested his faith. So that's been going on a long time. Trials reveal who we really are. They reveal our true selves. So why do these happen? Why does God allow trials? Well, many years ago, I think it was back in the 70s, Brother Thomas Warren, one of my favorite gospel preachers and writers, wrote a book called "Have Atheists Proved There Is No God?" Because one of their biggest reasons for not believing in God, so they say, is, well, how could a good God allow evil and suffering? Well, in that book, Brother Warren just devastates that argument. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but I'm going to paraphrase it real quick. Some of the things he said about that. God created this world as a place, kind of as a testing ground, for us to develop and mature morally and spiritually. Sometimes it's called a veil of soul making. It's a probationary period. We live in this world and He has given us free will. He has given us the freedom to make the decisions we choose to make. Now those decisions that we make can either make us better people or not. How we respond to those trials of life can help us mature and grow morally and spiritually, or they can lead us in the wrong direction. But it's all about the decisions that we make. Because that time, that period ends at physical death. We have no more chances after that. So we have this entire time period before us that God has given us to help us to grow, to mature, to be stronger. And throughout our lives, our faith will be tested over and over and over again. So Jesus says in this prayer, pray for God's guidance. When those trials come, when those tests come, pray for God to guide you through them. That's what he says. Trials like the death of a family member, the death of a close friend, health issues, whether they be ours or someone else's, financial problems, divorce, and on it might go. Pray for God to guide you through them. That's what Jesus is saying in this model prayer. Something for us to do. Because when we go through these trials, they can bring a lot of benefits. Now, they're going to come. We know 2 Timothy 3:12 says what? For all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Shall encounter trials. Shall encounter sufferings. It's a guarantee. If you want a guarantee, that's one of them. If you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, you will experience those times. Let's be honest, let's be real, let's be frank. Christians do not have an easy path to follow. That's the way it is. But it's that hard path that makes us strong. You may know about how butterflies start within this enclosure before they become a butterfly. And if you've ever watched a butterfly come out of this, you see the struggle it goes through. And it takes a long time for that to happen. And then when it finally is able to come out, it's a butterfly and can fly away. What happens if you tear apart that for the butterfly? Yeah, the butterfly dies. Because it's the struggle to get out of that casing, that makes it strong enough to develop the wings so they can fly. Otherwise, it can't. So it's the struggle that makes it strong. That's the same way it is for us. It's the struggle that makes us strong. So Jesus says, pray to God for guidance. Pray to Him that you will know how to deal with this struggle, this trial, this time. How do I deal with it? It can make me stronger if I allow it, because we want to be victorious. Another brother, Charles Pugh, gave a list of benefits that we can get from trials and suffering. Listen to some of them. Provides for us an opportunity to develop strength. Listen to what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5. Fifth chapter of Romans, beginning in verse 3, Paul writes this. And not only that, but we also glory, and notice this list he's going to give, we glory in tribulations, trials, test of faith, sufferings, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. See, there's the struggle, and there's what it produces. It produces perseverance, endurance. It produces what? It produces character. It helps us be a person of integrity. By asking God to guide us through these difficult times, it will make us a better person. That's what he's saying. Make us a better person. Makes us stronger. James said the same thing, but in slightly different words in the very first chapter of James. He tells us this beginning in verse 2. He says, my brethren, see this is written to Christians. He says, Christians, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy. Not because the trial is joyful. It's not. That's not what he's saying. He says, count it joy, count it a good thing, because you can become a better person because of it. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance or perseverance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. He says, don't be thankful for the trial in and of itself, but be thankful for what the trial can produce. It can produce a better you. That's what he's saying. It can produce a better you, a better person, a better Rosemary, a better Emily, a better Skip. But that's only going to happen if we pray for God's guidance through these times. That's what he says. So suffering and trials provides us that opportunity. It also provides an opportunity to test our loyalty. See, that's what he was doing with Abraham on the mountain. He was testing Abraham's loyalty. Did Abraham really believe the promise? See, God had already promised Abraham that through Isaac, through his offspring, this great nation would come about. And now God's asking him, okay, I want you to go sacrifice Isaac. What has to be going through Abraham's mind? Well, God, you promised that through my offspring, this was going to happen. And now you want me to kill my offspring? But Abraham, before he ever went on the mount, when he was told to go up there with Isaac, what does he say to the people that stays behind? My son and I are coming back. Now, Abraham didn't know how they were going to come back, but he knew they were going to come back. See, God was testing Abraham's loyalty, testing his love to God. That's what he did with Job, as I mentioned. All those things that happened in Job chapter 1 and 2 to Job, they tested his loyalty. Family was wiped out just like that. Entire family. His belongings, you know, all of his livestock just wiped out. But in all of this, Job didn't sin against God. It was a test of loyalty. Something else, and if you've never seen this happen, it's unlikely, because it happens all the time. Because sometimes these trials and sufferings and difficulties can cause someone who has left the faith to return. Turn with me to Psalms 119. 119th Psalm. Remember, this is the psalm that's about God's Word and all that it can do. Notice what Psalms 119, verse 67 says. Psalms 119, verse 67. It's a great verse that goes right along with what we're talking about. Verse 67 says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Notice what he's saying? Before I had these trials and difficulties and times of suffering, I left and went away from you. But now that I've been afflicted, that I've experienced these trials and difficulties, what? Now I keep your word. See, so sometimes trials and difficulties that come our way can bring us back to God if we have left Him. Again, God sends these trials, allows them to happen, so that we can become better us. We can become better. Also, in that same psalm, notice verse 71, just a few verses on down. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Sometimes difficulties help us go to God's Word and know it. When things are easy, when there's no problems, when there's no trials, we may forget God and His Word. But afflictions and trials And sufferings and difficulties can drive us back to the Word. So there's an enormous benefit to difficulties. Also may help us understand and appreciate the suffering that Jesus went through for us. So when I suffer, when you suffer, when you go through difficulties, then that may help us then understand what Jesus did for us. This drives us back to God. As His children, we go to Him and pray for guidance. We pray that these trials that we're going through will mature us, help us to grow stronger morally and spiritually. See, we should pray that that will be the outcome of what we're going through. That's what Jesus says to His disciples. That's what you need to pray for. Help us through these times. Help us through these difficulties. Help us through these trials and sufferings. Help us. In 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter wrote these words, which should be a great comfort. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Peter writes, "Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations." The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. But don't expect those deliverances unless you pray for them. That's what Jesus is saying. Pray for those deliverances. Pray for guidance. Pray for God to help you through these times. Most of us know the ending of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7. Jesus gives a parable, doesn't he? Two different men, right? We even have a song, a little kid's song, about these two men. And they built two different houses. But it's not about building houses, it's about building lives. That's what the parable's about, building lives. These two men made decisions about how they were going to build their lives. One built their life on the sand. One built their life on solid rock. But again, it's not about building a physical building on sand or rock. It's about how are you building your life. What was the difference between the two men? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 7. Because Jesus says what the difference between the two men was all about. Matthew chapter 7. First of all, Jesus describes the life that the wise man built. Verse 24 of Matthew chapter 7. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." Now, there was the wise man. How did he build his life? On following God's word. See, the wise man built a strong foundation. And what happened? The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. His life was built upon following God's word. What about the other one? "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Now, both built their lives. They both had choices about how they were going to build their lives. One man chose to follow God. So his life was built on solid rocks. The other man chose not to follow God, and his life was built on sand. But the same things happened to both men. Notice that it says exactly the same thing. Floods came, rains came, winds came. The exact same things happened to both men. What was the difference? How they had built their life. That's what it was all about, how they had built their life. The man who had built his life on following God had a strong foundation. So when the difficulties came, the floods, the winds, the rains, he survived. The floods might be those times when we're flooded, when we're overwhelmed with family problems, major health issues, deaths, disappointments in others. The list could go on. We're flooded with something, just overwhelmed. Those are the floods. And they come. They come. They come to people's lives. The winds could represent those things that try to change what's right and wrong. You know, we talk about the winds of change. How it changes things. We're going through changes in our culture. We're redefining marriage, or so our society is. Our society is changing the fact that the Bible is very specific about homosexuality. It's just a matter of choice. Whatever you choose is okay. Not from the Bible. But we have to deal with that. We deal with that all the time. So when those winds come, if we're rooted in the Bible and following God's Word, we can survive. The rains might be those subtle evils that slowly erode our foundations. Not overwhelming, but over time, over time, over time, they just wear away foundations. Materialism, apathy, immorality. The list could go on. So these two men experienced the same things. Floods, winds, rains. But one's life was completely destroyed because they had not built it upon following God's Word. The other one had a strong foundation in following God's Word, so when those things came, all of those trials and all of those difficulties and all of those sufferings, then he survived. That was the difference. Trials will come. They will come. It's not they might come, but they will come. Jesus says, rely on God's guidance. His Word tells us how to live. How to go through those trials. That's what His Word does. Helps us overcome them. In the first epistle that we have from John, 1 John chapter 4, John tells us this in verse 4. Listen to these words. See, this is what we have as God's people. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, talking about us, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. See what we have the world doesn't? Because we're building our lives on him and his word. Trials can produce great benefits. In 1 Peter chapter 1, and this will end our lesson. 1 Peter chapter 1, I want us to notice verse 6 and 7. Peter wrote this epistle to Christians who were dispersed and had been suffering and going through trials of all kinds. He says in verse 6 and 7 of 1 Peter 1, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. A little while, you're tested by these trials. But because your faith is genuine, see, it is rooted and grounded in God and what He has said, then what? You'll be found to praise, honor, and glory when Jesus comes back. We need to pray, lead us, God. Lead us, God. Lead us through these trials. Ask for divine guidance. That's what Jesus told His disciples to do. Over and over and over again. Trials will come. We're either going to be prepared for them and know what to do when they come, or they'll devastate us. We're either building our house on the solid rock, the solid foundation, or we're building it on sand. So we're either the wise or the foolish. Which is it going to be? That's the lesson of the hour. Choices. Life is all about choices. First of all, whether we choose to become a child of God by having our sins washed away, choosing to remain faithful, choosing to ask for forgiveness, choosing to ask God for guidance, or not. This morning, you may need to respond in some way. And if you do need to respond in some way, we want you to do that now while we stand and sing this song.